Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Robinhood, giving you guys, our listeners, a free stock. Yes, it's like free money. I checked it out, too, because I'm like, this sounds too good to be true. Free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up. Get your free stock. I did it myself. RealGhost.Robinhood.com. That's RealGhost, RealGhost.Robinhood.com. Get your free stock. It literally is like getting free money. RealGhost.Robinhood.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it is officially here. The Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. It's our new bonus item when you sign up, renew, or upgrade to a yearly EPP membership at ghostpodcast.com.
What does EPP stand for? Extra Podcast Person.
Hurry, supplies are limited of the Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask, a flask with our logo engraved right on it and autographed by us. When you sign up for a yearly EPP membership, you'll not only get a Spirit Flask, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP bonus episodes, advanced access to regular episodes of the show, weeks before they go public, exclusive video content, a fast pass to get your stories to us before everybody else, and so much more.
Plus, you get a month free, too. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Sign up for the yearly EPP membership, get all of that, help keep us on the air, and enjoy your Spirit Flask. Claim yours now at ghostpodcast.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what paranormal encounter is a young boy having every time he blanks out? Uncomfortable dreams lead one listener to believe they're receiving messages from beyond the grave. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. 855-853-4802, our phone number. Right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, to submit your story or email me your audio file through your smart device. Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Press subscribe. If you don't mind, on whatever platform you're listening to us on, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, YouTube, whatever it is, that helps us grow in those rankings, lets other folks know that we exist, that we're actually out there. If you're a new listener to the show over the Halloween month, welcome. You're discovering that this shit doesn't end in the month of October. It goes on all year long, so hope you are ready for a ride of ghost stories all year long. It's funny, I was looking back just the other day. Tony and Sean joining you, by the way. I was looking back on our Facebook page last night. I was just curious, like, how long has the Facebook page been around? Because the Facebook page has existed well before the show ever even started, when I was just kind of like posting up random ghost story stuff. It goes all the way back to 2012. Is when kind of the concept came about, but it was like 2014, like October of 2014, when the show itself actually began. And it's kind of like, oh my God, like, I guess I placed it a little closer to today than that. Like, I think I had like a year or two off. I guess it just, I don't know, just kind of surprised how fast time has gone since, I mean, 2014 doesn't sound that long ago, but what is that? It's like, what, that's 5 years ago, 6 years ago, something like that.
As far as, hold on 1 second.
It's simple math. This is like kindergarten math, or and I'm like, I'm stuck.
I didn't know there would be multiplication involved. Could you please repeat the question?
2014, October of 2014 is how many years ago? That would be
four.
It's four. No, it's not. It's five. It's 29. It's 28. Is it, what is it? 18. It's 2018.
2014 to 2015 is one.
Okay, so
16 is two. 15, 16, 17.
You're right. Okay. Yep. Okay. There we go. We answered that question. We did simple math today on the program, ladies and gentlemen. My 6-year-old would be just sitting over here shaking her head if she was not in school right now, going, "This is my fucking dad. That's great."
But she's learning.
And then she'd slam the door and walk out.
Memories.
Drop the mic.
Thank you, Missouri.
Yes, she's doing well. She's getting an award later this week for being smart. So that's a good thing. It's funny, we did parent-teacher conferences the other day with her, And I'm going to be the braggadocious parent for a moment. And they were like, you know, she basically got like the top rating of all the academics. And the only thing that they said was, you know, she kind of gets frustrated with the other kids when they don't understand what she's talking about, because she's kind of, you know, she's a little bit ahead of them. I'm like, yeah, that's, I get that. And she's like, yeah, you know, she's patient, but then she just kind of gets frustrated. Like, why don't you get this? I'm like, she's me. And, the teacher looked at me like, and I even said it like that. I'm like, she's me. my arms were out. It was almost like a moment of like showmanship. Like I'm in a Broadway show. She's me. and they just kind of looked at me like, I'm like, I get it. I was the exact same kid. I was trying to, rally up the kids in my like preschool and kindergarten classes to produce television shows. And I had like fake cameras going. And I believe I was trying to make a children's version of My Two Dads because I liked that show at the time. And I had I was like trying to cast them, and I would like trying to interview them of like who's going to play what role. And then I had like cameras made out of construction paper. And so I was like, OK, now you're going to be the producer. You're going to be the camera one, camera two, and camera three over here. It's just a three camera show. And then you're going to do this around. And then I'm like trying to get the set already. And these kids are just kind of wandering around, semi picking their nose, semi drooling, just kind of like, oh, look, there's bricks, you know, and big cardboard bricks. I'm going to build a fort right here now. I'm like, no, you're in the middle of the set. And then the teacher would be like, Tony, calm down. We got to share our toys. I'm like, I'm not trying to share toys. I'm trying to get a production off the ground. And then I just said, fuck it, eventually. Went home and started a fake radio station with my boombox and my cat. And that's kind of where it's been ever since. I gave up on society at the age of about 5.
Coming up next on Dr. Phil, we will talk with Tony's childhood friends.
Which there are none of. Then I met you when I was about 18, and you've been my only friend ever since.
That's next. But first, a word from your local ABC affiliate.
Yeah, so that was, I get it. I don't want her to go down that road. I want her to be smarter than everybody, but I never had any guidance from my parents of like, here's how to mingle with other kids. Here's how to socially interact. So I'm trying to like, with that, what little knowledge I have of encourage that, like not everybody's going to be getting you, just kind of, you know, go with the flow. Sometimes you got to compromise. And that's something I never learned till later in life.
But compromise, adequate, kind of okay.
Yeah. But
although I'm speaking Russian,
I'm not the greatest at that though either. It's like, we're doing this now or you're all going to die. So yeah, that's that's how that works. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I can't cough because I still have bronchitis. Okay, let's move over to our first story. I'll take a nice big sip of tea. Deep breath. Okay. Hi, Tony and Sean. Wrote in about a haunting in my workplace a couple of weeks ago, and I was so excited to hear it on EPP episode 164. Thanks so much for reading my story. As promised, I'm back with another. As a child, I remember being a constant state of fear and uneasiness. I remember walking by windows or mirrors, any reflective surface in our home, and having this feeling in the pit of my stomach that I should not look at them. I don't know what I thought I'd see. I knew that something inside of me told me to keep my eyes down. I regularly had night terrors and problems, sleepwalking and talking. When I reached my teenage years, all of this seemed to settle down. After my experience at the cafe, things started to pick up again. Most of my experiences come to me in dreams. I guess you may consider that it just is a bad dream and the product of an overactive imagination. It could be. I'll let you decide for yourself. This dream took place the very first night I visited my now fiancé's parents' home. We ate dinner, played spades, drank wine. It was a great night, and we all went to bed around 1 a.m. I was sleeping in his sister's bedroom on the second floor by myself. As I drifted off, I remember staring into the closet at the foot of her bed. The door was slightly cracked, and I remember feeling that I should close it. Strangely, though, my vision felt blurred, and my eyelids were unbearably heavy. I felt asleep. Against my better judgment, in my dream, I was sitting in a metal tub of water. I was in a big room with lots of light flooding in. A little ways away, towards what I understood to be the front of the house, I could see a door. There came a knock at the door, and my parents appeared to answer it. There stood an old man holding a small tree that looked to have been ripped out of the soil. Its roots were exposed, and dirt was falling from them. He greeted my parents and said the tree was a gift. However, I was distracted by a woman behind him. No one else seemed to notice or acknowledge her, but she was standing behind the old man, staring at me from over his shoulder. Her face was void of any human expression. I could see that she was bald. After a minute of talking, my parents invited the man to come in. As he stepped into the doorway, the woman slipped in behind him. Still, no one else seemed to see her. My parents and the man disappeared, and the woman walked over to where I sat. She was naked, and she looked sickly. Her skin had an odd gray hue to it, and she had no expression on her face. She stepped into the metal tub with me. She sat across from me, staring with blank eyes, when suddenly she smiled very softly. She began stroking my hair and tucking it behind my ear, softly brushing my neck. Though the action was kind, I knew that something was wrong. She began to speak. Her voice was softer than I expected from her appearance. As she said, "Oh, sweet child, I'm going to come to visit you again soon, and when I do, I want you to have that same stupid look on your face." As her last few words, her smile dropped like a flip of a switch, and her expression returned to emptiness. She grabbed me by the back of my neck with incredible strength for someone who looked so frail and pushed my head into the water, holding me under till I began to drown. I remember the very clear and conscious thought that if I don't do something, she was going to kill me. In this moment of clarity, I wheeled my arms up, trying to grab onto her face or really anything so I could fight back. Suddenly, I was back in my bed, my arms flailing in the dark. My body was soaked in sweat, and all my senses were in a complete state of panic. I was awake for maybe a few minutes, but I felt like I had been drugged. I fought to stay awake for a while, but quickly fell back asleep and back into the dream. Once again, I was in the tub, and to my terror, the woman was still sitting across from me. She was smiling again like the whole ordeal had been amusing to her. Behind her, I could see my parents, and the old man returned to the door. He was still holding the tree. Without looking away from me, the woman stood up from the water. She stood above me, staring down at me menacingly for a moment before she stepped out and followed the man out the door. I woke up at 6 a.m. My body felt wrong. Not sure how to explain what I meant by that, but every part of me just ached. I heard my fiancé's parents moving around in the kitchen downstairs, so I decided to join them. Later, as we were leaving, his parents waved us off and told us to visit again soon. The memory of the woman's promise to visit me again came flooding back. Now, a few months later, I still wonder if I'll be visited again by this woman or whatever she was. Thanks for listening and for creating this awesome space to share these stories. I'd love to hear your opinions. Maybe it was just a bad dream, but I can't shake the feeling that there's more to it. There are so many strange pieces that could have been symbolism, but I'm not great at identifying those. This is one of many that I would like to share with you, and I'm sure I'll share others soon. Until then, all my love, Madison. Okay, I think this is an interesting one, and I want to give some really interesting insight into it. But first, we have to thank our supporter here today, Robinhood. Robinhood is a platform that makes investing, I guess, idiot-proof, for lack of a better term. And I'll put myself into that bucket there of not being the most savvy on the topic. It has nobody's ever really taught me much about it. It's been something I've kind of had to self-teach, and this is a great platform for doing just that. It's an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, cryptos. Even if you don't understand what half of that is, you'll learn. All commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's a non-intimidating way for the stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. It's not one of those sites where there's like a gazillion graphs and charts and initials on it, and you have to like really be an insider and understand every damn thing about it to even touch it, because you're like, I'm afraid I'm going to lose all my money in 2 seconds. That's not at all how this works. It's simple. It's intuitive. It's a clear design. You know what you're doing when you use it. It's presented in an easy to digest way for those of us who are not super literate on this topic. I was really blown away the first time I went to it. I was like, oh my God, this really is easy to use. And I understand what I'm doing. which that in itself was a huge barrier on some of the other things out there. Another cool thing about it, costs, commissions. That's something that always kind of scared me too. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every single trade. If you don't know what you're doing, that can add up really quick. Robinhood doesn't charge commissions or fees to trade stocks. They keep it all your profits with you. Yes. You learn by doing. Learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. You can start with like one stock. You can start really small. You can discover new stocks and track favorite companies with personalized news feeds, customized notifications for price movements, so you never miss the right moment to invest. And if you're kind of scared, like, it's like, you know, you go somewhere, put a little money into the machine and hope for the best. They're going to make it easy for you. They're actually, it's essentially like they're giving away money here. They're giving you a free stock to start out with. Here, try a stock. See what you think. You could get a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint. Real, not fake. Not like, here's an imaginary stock and let's play with it and see how you do. This is, they're like giving you a real stock. It's worth money to build your portfolio. Get your first one. Go get it for free. This is, I'm telling you how to get free money right now. Sign up at realghost.robinhood.com, realghost.robinhood.com, and you'll get a free stock. I tried it myself. At first, I'm like, it seems a little too good to be true. No, it's not. You get a free stock, and you could get one of those big ones, too. Whatever you get, try it. You can experience this for yourself, and you may find a neat little way to, you know, make some money here. It's completely up to you. Go check it out for yourself. I think it's a really cool system. Robinhood. Realghost.robinhood.com. Realghost. RealGhost.robinhood.com. You know, with something like this, it's a very troubling dream, and obviously it stands out because it doesn't feel like everything else, but without the second visit coming through, It's very difficult to say that the dream itself is anything paranormal, no matter how compelling it may be. Is there symbolism in it? Yeah, there sure is. Could it be just you trying to work something out and it seems very, very strange? Yes, when you have dreams like that, your body reacts almost as if it's awake. So the adrenaline, the achiness, the tensing of muscles, all that's going to happen while you're sleeping. And you're going to feel almost as if you actually lived it, which makes it feel that much more real. But I'm going to stress that not every time you have a strange, weird dream does it mean it is, in fact, paranormal. Thoughts?
I would like to know what type of situation she was dealing with in her life at that time, stress levels or anxiety, because, like you said, as far as the vividness and the more real it seems and more graphic, you always go to the paranormal side, whereas it could affect if there was a loss in her life or deals, issues at work or stress levels. Something is off in her life that I think led to that vivid, terrifying, sounds like a night terror.
It does. And when you have a dream about drowning, a lot of times it means you're overwhelmed by something, some sort of emotion, some sort of repressed issue. So I'm wondering if there was something that maybe was she felt like she had just kind of gotten over and kind of had put away or had some resolution to. But there was a fear that even though there was this resolution that came on, that it's going to come back again. And that's part of the symbolism. That's part of the, I'm going to visit you again. Like, you can't quite get away from me. Maybe whatever resolution was put onto whatever issue was troubling her was not a closed door. It was more of a Band-Aid than a full resolution. And maybe this is more of a sign of you need a better ending to this. You need to find a more resolute end to whatever the trouble is. Otherwise, it's just going to keep coming back again and again, sneaking around whatever resolution may have been there. Maybe that was the example of the thing coming around the parents as it walked in the door. The parents were kind of the example of, or the symbolism of, the safety, the resolute, the fix of whatever it was. But this is going to come right around it, and it's going to come back again and again until there's some sort of resolution. So
was it her fiance and over at her fiance's parents' house, or were they married?
They were staying at their fiance's parents' house.
Because my thought on that is maybe she doesn't want to be with the guy and the parents, and that was a reminder that this is going to be a permanent thing. And when she said, "Oh, I'll be back to visit you," you can't get out of an engagement. "Oh, it'll be fine. I just won't overthink it." This is very permanent. This is getting more permanent by the day, by the month,
sure,
by the year.
You can get out of an engagement. I've done that.
Excuse me. No.
I think we've both done that. But
yeah. It's a bit early when we're recording this. I apologize. I'll make sense about 20 minutes after we're done recording the show. But what I was trying to say is the engagement, and then you're going down a path that is becoming more and more permanent.
Yeah.
So if you want to get out, possibly that was a reminder, this would be the time. Because, yes, you can. And side note, what you pay for the ring and then when you ultimately sell the ring, very different amount of money.
Are you speaking from some sort of experience here, or is this just like a random comment?
100% personal experience, which this will be a teaser of another podcast that we start. We're still working on the naming of it, but essentially it's all this amazing happy life with a white picket fence with the two SUVs in the driveway and a golden retriever, and then it goes to shit. But back to the ghost story. Yes.
Yeah, so there you
and
go.
You're lucky if you can get enough to cover first month's rent and security deposit on your new, nice, one-bedroom apartment.
But hey, it was a shiny ring, wasn't it? It was shiny for a couple months.
It was a great 21 months.
There you go. So there you go. Not to get too dream meaning-ish on that one, but I think there was some symbolism there. Hard to say anything paranormal there. But I totally understand why, you know, it would envelop someone to make them feel that it was. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to the next letter. Hey, guys, the story I'm about to share with you is one that I've been dealing with for a large part of my life. Ever since I was a young boy, I see things that others don't and feel like I belong somewhere else. I've experienced countless amounts of unexplained happenings. It's truly impossible for myself to remember. However, there's been a specific individual who's been in all of this throughout. It's a senior woman. When I was a boy, I'd often blank out, and during these moments of nothingness, a woman would appear. She would talk to me, but I could never hear her. She would often have an expression etched across her face of sheer anger that would frighten me to the core. One evening during my childhood, I had one such moment, and I became so terrified and hysterical that my parents decided to take me to the local hospital. When I arrived at the hospital, I was simply given a teaspoon of medicine, and we left. The doctors labeling my incident as an allergic reaction. As time went on, I'd regularly dream about the elderly woman, and during these dreams, I would be in a large, old country mansion made from stone, situated in the middle of nowhere. I would see the woman, and she'd be talking to me, but I could never hear her. As always, I'd portray the look of absolute disgust on her face. Though around 20 years old, these incidents and dreams would regularly occur, but I never expected to experience what would eventually happen to me. Last year, I moved to Sweden from the UK, and I work as a teacher. After 3 months, I met my girlfriend, who had recently moved into her friend's spare apartment while she was waiting to move into her current apartment. The first time I visited her at this temporary apartment, I knew something was not right. I feel as if I was being watched and as if I were not welcome there. I never saw anything during this time, but I got the feeling that something dark was coming, and it did. In January this year, still living in Sweden, my girlfriend and I moved in together. Our apartment is beautiful, and it feels great to be able to share a living space with someone I care deeply about. During the first week of being in the apartment, the feeling of being watched returned, and the sense of something dark around me became more and more frequent. One evening, I got up during the night to go to the bathroom. Walking through our kitchen and past our living room towards the bathroom, I noticed that it was an exceptionally clear night, so much so that I could walk without straining my eyes. I did my business, left the bathroom, and began walking back to our bedroom. That was when I saw it. The outline of a figure silhouetted in front of the window in our living room. It was about 4 to 5 feet tall in pure black. I got the feeling that it was a young boy. I don't know why, but that was the energy it portrayed. After 10 seconds or so, and still standing frozen looking at the figure, I began to get the horrible feeling of dread. This is not a young boy at all. I believe this was a sign of what was to come. A warning. The next night was like any other. I drifted off to sleep not knowing the horror I was about to experience. I began to dream of the old woman, and as usual, I was in the old house in the country. During the dream, I could feel my body becoming more and more tense, and something happened to me that has never happened before or since. I was now awake, or so I thought, standing beside my bed. I peered down and could see both my girlfriend and me sleeping peacefully in our bed. I then looked towards our bedroom door. It was open, and in the door stood a senior woman. She had the look on her face that was so evil. She was screaming so loud that it was deafening. For the first time, I could hear her screams. The strangest thing was, is that she was screaming in Swedish. My body began to convulse and I could physically feel myself pulsing and trying to escape this horrendous experience. It would not work. My eyes were locked on the senior woman. I started to shout or to release myself from the ordeal, and eventually I woke up to my girlfriend comforting me. She informed me that I was tossing and turning uncontrollably while breathing so frantically that she genuinely thought I was having a seizure. This incident was the scariest thing that's ever happened to me. Luckily, it's never happened since. However, it has left me with so many questions that remain unanswered. One theory I have is that I was meant to meet this senior woman eventually. Why would I see her so often during my childhood and not be able to hear her? Then when I moved to Sweden, I can hear her clearly. Why is she so angry? The list could go on and on. Thank you so much for taking the time to read this letter. Any help or thoughts about this is greatly appreciated. Take care, Scott. It's one of those dreams. It's one of those situations where there is some connection there to reality. But again, it's a difficult one to place and say, here this is paranormal, or here there is some sort of innate fear deep within this individual, or some sort of anxiety in this individual that was triggered in childhood and again re-triggered in adulthood, and it's manifesting itself through this dark, dark dream, this dark, dark feeling and being in this dream, that it is difficult to say yes or no, this is paranormal. Certainly disturbing, though, and very haunting. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a combination. You're in a new place. Obviously, he's with his girlfriend, who's a constant and knows her, and they have routine. But, you know, now that he's living in her place, you know, we talk about different noises you hear depending upon where you are, moving from a different country, right? Because he moved from Sweden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a lot that your body, that you're not even aware of. Your brain is adjusting. And then if there is anything from whether it's a week ago, whether it's a decade ago that was unsettled, it kind of stirs it up. It unsettles the dust, if you will. And I think in both stories this morning, it's a flip of a coin, whether it is somebody visiting you from the afterlife, or if this is just emotions in your brain, you haven't gotten a lot of sleep in a while, all just coming together, that then comes across that you wake up thinking, holy shit,
yeah,
what the hell was that? When really, sometimes your brain just needs an opportunity to kind of go off and to, in essence, sometimes scare the hell out of you. But, you know, you can also have dreams that are so vivid, that they're a great dream. When you wake up in situations where, you know, you see a friend that you haven't seen forever and you wake up and it's so real that you almost want to reach out to them and say, hey, man, did that really happen? But in this case, if they are scary or negative, we then chalk it up to paranormal.
Sometimes the scariest thing that can haunt us is our own subconscious. And that can be very, very freaky and can lead to, because sometimes just the acceptance of what our mind is trying to process is one of those things where it's almost easier to go, maybe there's something paranormal here going on and I'm really not feeling this way because I thought I had some resolution to whatever it may be. And the resolution hasn't been found yet. So I think that's a lesson in some of these stories today, is that not all scary dreams that are so vivid and so real are indeed paranormal. But I completely understand why someone would want a second opinion and some feedback on it. Let's jump over to a call at 855-853-4802. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony. My name is Nick. I'm up here in Schoolcraft, Michigan. I've been listening to this show for a couple of years now, and you know, never get enough of it. And you know, up here in Schoolcraft, we got a big history of Underground Railroad being part of a big part of this town. And during school in second grade, I remember going to the Underground Railroad house. It's only a mile away from school. They walked us down there, and it was really cool to see all the little rooms and all those kind of little hiding spots and cool stuff that they had out as a little museum for our school to look at. And In fact, it's open for the whole town to look at whenever if someone drives by. I just go and look at it like that. So my job, I also work for a home improvements company around the same area, and I go to all these houses. I go within 100 miles of my job, but specifically this one job was about 2 miles from our shop. And we're going into it, and my normal job is I go into the house and I basically do a seal on the house to make sure that it's energy efficient. So one of the part of my jobs is to go up into the attic, kind of check insulation levels, make sure there's no mold, do some work up there if need be. So I walk into this house, probably 100 and some years old. I go into it, do what I need to do up until that part where I need to go into the attic. Okay, so I grab a ladder, I open the attic access, and go up in this house. And all these old houses, they don't have very good insulation. Back in the old days, they used old newspapers, for insulation. And so I'm up there crawling around, checking on stuff, and I find this notebook clipping of a girl from the town over called Portage. Says she had went missing and stuff like that. And it was very odd just because she was only like a probably 10, 11-year-old girl. And from that area, but it was like there's a stack of newspaper up there also, so I don't know if it's the family that lived there or not, but either way, it's a very creepy house. So I'm up in the attic, and the attic access itself is one of the pull down attic accesses with a ladder. It kind of hooks and slides down. So I go up in the attic, I'm doing that thing after I find that. It was like a good 10 minutes that I was up there that I was about to come back down, and next thing I know, I'm sitting there looking at the insulation and whatnot. Next thing I know, all I hear is bam, and I look over, and the attic access itself is shut, and which just seems pretty impossible to me unless, one of the homeowner did it, but of course, I had asked him, and he had not. So that was, that was very creepy. I was very creeped out at that instant, so I had to kind of call the homeowner himself and have him pull it back down for me so I could get out. So it has been very odd. It's there. Another one I wanted to talk about was the other day. I had to work last Saturday, I had to go down to South Bend, Indiana. And part of that was I couldn't be to the job until about 1 o'clock p.m. because the customer was being very nice. And so basically to kill time, what I did was I pulled into a cemetery that's down there, and I just kind of walked around, did what I needed, or kind of killing some time. And what I found out, it's kind of weird though, because my family and my mother's maiden name is St. John. So I mean, it's a pretty common last name, but I went in and I was sitting there walking around and I see this headstone, St. John. Kind of intrigued me. Oh, cool. Same family. I sit there for a second, didn't really think too much about it. I went back to my vehicle as it was almost time for me to leave and go to my other job. And as soon as I get in the vehicle, oddly enough, what starts playing is The Dance by Garth Brooks. And it doesn't seem too significant at this moment, but my grandma St. John, who had passed away when I was about 10. I looked up to her a lot and whatnot, but at her funeral, it was also one of her favorite songs, was Garth Brooks' The Dance. And therefore, it's just always, a memorable song throughout with our family. When that song comes on, you always think of her, whatnot like that. And so I just thought it was a really weird coincidence that as soon as I, she popped into my head, and then I just like I got back to the vehicle, the song came on. It's just a funny way of, not necessarily sensitive or anything like that, but it's a funny way for, I feel like my grandma was there, I was kind of like, hey, I know you're having a bad day. Hope it gets better for you. Just pop in to say hi. It's just, it's always good to feel a good feeling. When you feel a loved one being around that's coming to say hi, it just makes you feel really good inside. So, all right, thanks. I hope this gets used. Otherwise, know, if it doesn't, whatever. But I really am a big fan of the show, guys, and I really love this outlet that we get. I have called in once before, you know, like a year and a half ago, and did get used. I was very happy about that. But all right, you guys have a great day. P.S., I love the new Spirit Flash that you guys are going out. I really need to get you one of those. All right, guys. Have a good day. Bye.
Okay. Being people who know how radio works, where, you know, the programming of music and how it's scheduled out typically days, weeks in advance sometimes, and then folks end up having this story, and we've heard that 1,000 times where it's like, I got in the car and it was really stressful, and then this one meaningful song that, you know, somewhat obscurely plays these days was suddenly on the radio, and it really meant something at that moment in time. How does that work? Is that like something that it's just the timing worked out right? Is it something manipulating our music scheduling software that it knows if this song happens to fall here in the algorithm, it'll work? Is that just the universe just working together? What's your thoughts on that? Because I hear that a lot.
Yes, would be the simplistic answer to the question. Yeah. I think when he was telling the story of where it was all coming to be, and then he solidified it. He got in the car and turned the car on, and there was the radio. I think, quite honestly, it is a random coincidence. It happens, and you mentioned with working in radio.
Mm-hmm.
The way that it works is it was probably a random coincidence that had no. The universe did not come together, and all this, that, or the other. But the great thing is the interpretation of how we take things. That's going to be the truth. That's going to be the reason that it all came together. And I think a situation like that, I mean, I personally have had feelings where just out of nowhere, a random occurrence, and then it all comes together. And you feel pretty awesome after that. So I think for him, and my question is, were these right along the same time? Is it where he, you know, the day before he was up in the attic and then the next day he had to go down to South Bend, or these are two totally different occurrences?
I think they're different occurrences.
Okay. Well, to kind of give a thought on that all coming together, you know, I really think it was just a random coincidence, but I think it was a really awesome coincidence that he then could personalize with so many emotions and so many mm-hmm. feelings of good.
Yeah.
Obviously, it'd be a terrible coincidence if it made him crap his pants. But in a good way, I think that's pretty awesome. Seeing the random common last name, clearly probably nobody that he was related to, but then to hop in the car and have a little, hey, how are you? Just thinking about you, having a bad day. I'll chalk it up as a random coincidence, but a very awesome coincidence to then help him continue to enjoy his day.
You know, I think sometimes it does come together, though. I think there's sometimes, I mean, this day and age, most radio stations, if people don't know, there's not a human sitting in that studio 90% of the time. Most radio stations, everything is pre-recorded, and it's a voice track thing. Sometimes they're live, but, you know, it's few and far between. But back in the days where there was actually a human being in the radio station playing the songs, they were still following a log, and they had to play it, but every once in a while, you would spike your own song in. You'd be like, I'm going to change that one and put this in. And I would do that probably more than I should have, but I didn't care. And I have had it where just out of nowhere, I'd be like, I feel like hearing this somewhat obscure song. And I think I can get away with it because I need to fill X amount of time to the top of the hour. So it times up perfectly for the news. And that's my excuse when my boss comes and asks, why did you play this song we haven't played in 7 years? And it was never a heavy rotation song to begin with. It's like, well, I grabbed the wrong one and I was trying to fill to get to the top of the hour. My bullshit answer.
Tony, we are a country music station.
I like
Why
playing
Sade's Smooth Operator play at 9:57.
I thought, you know, we're kind of...
I had to get to the top of the hour, Dan.
Yeah. We're getting a little more rhythmic in country now. So I thought, you know, let's play
Smooth
a classic.
Operator.
Exactly. But I've done that, where I'd play a song, and I've actually had... I couldn't tell you when, because it's been a long time, but I remember... Once or twice over the course of 20 years, getting a call from someone going, you know, that song you just played, it really, thank you. And I'd be like, huh? Like, I just like felt like playing the song. And it broke the format, you know, or it broke the playlist. And they would be like, well, and they tell me some story of why it meant something to them. It was like just like this, right time, right place. And it made me go, well, that's weird that I just randomly picked this song because I just randomly felt like hearing it. Maybe there was some reason that I randomly felt like playing this that was beyond me. So I think sometimes what happened there can occur. It's just that the human end of it these days is less and less in terms of radio because there's not the other human there. I guess to get the calling to play Keith Sweat, in the middle of, a top 40 station.
Hey, man, can you play Montel Jordan? It Takes Two because this is how we do it. Because back junior prom, my baby's mama, it's actually not my girl anymore, but she is in domestics right now at Target, and we're listening to you guys in the overhead. So could you please play that in 4 minutes? And she'll be in the car for 30 seconds. Can you play it next?
Exactly 4:32 in 30 seconds.
Could you play it next Thursday at 12:13? Because
really need to hear it. This is how we do it.
Da-da-da. This is how. Back in the Day Cafe, coming up.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's a possibility. It's just hard to know these days. There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, Extra Podcast Person, on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, all 220 some of those now. Exclusive video content and access to our episodes weeks before they go public. So lots of extra perks there for you. Ghostpodcast.com, $5 a month is all that is to support the show and get all the extras at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.